The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Yeehaw! And welcome everyone to In the Saddle with your host, DJ Iceberg. Strap on your boots and mount up with me as we take a ride through the equine world. Hello, my little caballeros. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about the evolution of Western riding, but mainly about the tack for a horse. If you don't know what tack is, it's their gear. The girth, saddle, bridle, leg wraps, and others. Now, I will not be talking about all of these today because there is just not enough time in a day, let alone 15 minutes, but I will talk about a few of them. The first horsemen were from 365 AD and rode their horses without a saddle. Today, this is known as bareback riding and is generally a leisurely activity with your horse, but some people take it a step further than a relaxing way to connect with your animal. There is a type of riding called tackless riding or free riding. That means no saddle, no bridle, no nothing. This kind of riding is not for the faint of heart, as horses can be unpredictable and spook when they're scared. But if you have the right horse and train it properly, it can be an unparalleled experience between a rider and their horse. But I don't want to go off on a tangent about that form of riding, because I will, and we need to continue discussing the evolution of the saddle. These early riders would ride bareback, even during the war, because proper tack had not been invented yet. By this point, they were only using small cloths to separate them from their horse. Many sources agree that the first saddle was invented in 365 AD by the Sarmatians, the Eastern Iranian nomadic horsemen. This saddle, while it may have been a little more comfortable having some padding between these riders and their horses, was still not the most useful invention, as the saddle had no stirrups. Stirrups were not invented until the nomadic people, the Huns, brought these stirrupless saddles back to Europe. Europeans had never seen anything like it, but thought that they could make it even better by adding footholders to them, which would give them better balance and more control over the horse and accuracy in battle. At this time, making leather was not yet perfected, as there were so many actions that go into the process. It took decades for hide and saddle makers to perfect the process, not only of tanning, but of putting together the entire saddle as well. In fact, we are still evolving in this process. A saddle tree is a piece in the saddle that holds its shape. Originally, the saddle tree was made out of wood, but then it evolved into wood covered in rawhide, which is more durable. More recently, the saddle tree has been fabricated out of fiberglass and carbon fiber, and most recently, saddle makers have experimented with the idea of having no saddle tree at all. The Western saddle evolved from Spanish saddles. These riders developed a sturdy saddle with stirrups and a high cantle, which allowed them to ride securely even when wearing cumbersome military gear. This version of their saddle was known as the Spanish war saddle. As cattle herders, vaqueros brought their similarly durable saddles to the Americas when they settled here. The farmers and cattle ranchers that would one day be known as cowboys used these saddles and slowly modified them, adding extra features that would be useful for their daily work on horseback. They needed attachments that would be helpful for jobs such as roping cattle, which resulted in the invention of the horn and what we now see as the typical Western saddle. Western saddles were and are designed for comfort, because most working riders spent most of their day mounted. Western saddles are not only large, providing lots of wiggle room for comfort, but also have more padding for your flank than an English or dressage saddle. The invention of rodeos was meant for cowboys to exhibit their skill in their work, and with so many activities they did on the job day to day, they expanded the amount of events. Now there are so many variations of Western riding: roping cattle, working the herd, endurance, Western pleasure, barrel racing, and more. And to each of those subsets of Western riding, there is a specific saddle to correlate with the riding style. There are six features on a Western saddle that are most distinctive of what type of Western event they are used for. The seat refers to the depth of the saddle and its comfort level. The cantle is the back edge of the saddle, which provides back support and helps the rider keep themselves in the saddle. The swell is also referred to as the saddle fork and provides the base for the horn and connects to the saddle tree, which holds the swell in place. The horn, as I've previously mentioned, is meant for roping cattle and tying the rope to the horn. It is also a useful piece to hang on to if you're just learning to ride. The fender is a piece of leather attached to the stirrup, which prevents the leg from coming in contact with the horse to avoid friction on the rider's legs as well as getting sweat on them. The last distinctive feature on the saddle is the rigging. This refers to the D-rings, one on each side of the saddle, which allows you to strap the girth to the saddle and secure it to the horse. If you don't know what a girth is, it is essentially a belt that keeps the saddle in the right place on a horse. They come in all different lengths for varying horse sizes, materials, and shapes. The girth in Western riding is different from jumping, which is different from dressage. All saddles have billets, which are how you connect your girth to your saddle. The jumping and dressage saddles have at least two, and sometimes even three, depending on the girth's width. They are located on both sides of English saddles, while Western saddles only have a singular off billet, typically. I will define what an off billet is in a few minutes after I explain a little bit more about other types of girths. There are a few types of girths in jumping. One of them is generally made out of leather and has a stud guard, which is a wide section underneath the horse's belly or chest to protect the horse's stomach from chafing. There are also girths known as versatile girths, which are their own section of girth, but since they are mainly used for training over small obstacles in jumping, I think they should fall under the same category. These girths are 3 to 4 inches wide and are made from leather or neoprene and have rubber, fur, or faux fur on the interior lining of it to protect the horse's barrel. Dressage girths are generally shorter, typically measuring between 40 to 80 centimeters, while their jumping counterpart measures 90 to 140 centimeters, as dressage riders have longer billets, which don't require a girth that is quite as long. The reason behind the shortness of this girth is that it is attached lower on the horse's barrel, so the girth won't get in the way of your leg's contact on the horse, which is especially vital in dressage riding. The Western saddle, as I mentioned earlier, typically only has one billet, the off billet, which is connected to a ring and secured to the saddle. This connects the belt-like attachment on the right side of the girth, while on the other side, there is a leather strap that you wrap around a D-ring on the left side in a specific manner to secure it. Now, this is not always a D-ring that you strap it around. Sometimes it is a leather piece. There was actually one time a few months ago when I was riding a pleasure horse, and my brother noticed while I was riding that I didn't cinch my girth properly, and I had to dismount to fix it. More recently, Western saddle makers have been putting one billet on each side, allowing for a simpler way to cinch a girth, similar to English riders. This is more modern and is slowly encroaching on tradition. A lunging girth goes all the way around a horse's barrel in the same location as a regular girth. At the top of the girth, there is padding for their back, mimicking the pommel of a saddle. While it can be used with no attachments, other equipment can be used in conjunction with it, not only to keep the girth steady, but to create a specific bend in their body throughout their exercise, which can strengthen their back, butt, and neck. Saddles for ranch work are deep and hard. As I've mentioned before, a saddle has to be comfortable for these men to spend all day on horseback. But just because the seat is described as hard does not mean that it is not comfortable. Have you ever been sitting on a soft surface for a few hours? For example, maybe doing some homework in bed? And afterwards, did your back hurt? If you thought or said yes to this, the reason this happens is because when you're sitting on a soft surface, your spine and your vertebrae get compressed. Sitting on soft surfaces can also be more harmful for your back as it is harder to keep good posture, which is what keeps your spine feeling good. The cantle on a saddle is high, providing better back support for long days as well as holding the rider in place. The average cantle for a Western saddle is 3 to 4 inches high, but for a saddle specifically for range riding, it tends to be a little taller, between 5 and 6 inches. The swell of this kind of saddle tends to be low to compensate for the fact that on top of it is a tall, stiff, and thick horn. These horns are larger and more durable than on other saddles because the riders that utilize them are often cattle farmers that have to have a steady place to tie them down after they rope them. Fenders stand directly below the rider, unlike in reining, because of the specific position the job calls for. In reining, the riders sit farther back, creating a need for the fenders to be farther forward. But in range riding, the rider sits straight up in their saddle, creating a need for the fenders to be directly below them. Double rigging means that the saddle has two girths, one in the front of the saddle and one in the back, or one girth with four attachments capable of holding the saddle to the horse from the front and from the back. The reasoning for this is because when traveling down a hill, or when a cow is tied to the horn of a saddle, it can tip forwards. This feature prevents that. The next episode, we'll continue going over saddle types, both in Western and English, as this is just a start. Until next time, Iceberg out.